talk about, come on over, to talk about what God's been doing in missions in our lives. Just to bring you up to date, there's been a lot of you who supported us over the last 8-9 years of missions, and we want to just talk about mission. Angie and I are going to go through a couple slides, and then I'm going to preach on the word for a bit. So with that, we want to know, we want you to know the opportunities you have, and the role that you're to play, and I'm to play. We're to play as Christians. So with that, I think I'll read Philippians 2:4. Why do we have missions? Well, part of it is that we are to look out not only to our own interests, but the interests of others. And as Christians, sometimes we can get into church and it's we look inside a lot. We tend to look inside a lot. And what we want to do is encourage everyone here, including ourselves, start looking outside, our neighbors, our friends, our family, people overseas and whatnot. So our mission. So there's certain roles that you can play. And some people say, well, I can't go overseas. I can't do all these things. I can't really be a part of that kind of work. Well, you can, because prayer is the essential in any mission. Overseas, your neighbor, across the street, prayer, everybody can pray. It says when you pray for someone, you join their ministry. Or you can pray for missionaries. I don't know how many times we've prayed for missionaries, and within a week or month, we get a letter about what's happened over there. It's quite amazing. And or they put, God puts the missionary on your mind, and you start thinking about them, and you start praying for them. You have no idea why, but then you find out within a couple weeks something serious has happened or a great harvest has happened. So it says, strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, Romans 15:30.
Okay, so I'm just going to share with you some specific opportunities that you have, and I mean they are endless. I work for a mission organization called SIM, and if you ever want something to pray for in missions, just ask me. I can give you a very, 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 very long list. So actually, I'm going to introduce you today to this first picture here, the gentleman in the white robe. This is a project we're actually going to be, a prayer project that we're going to be introducing to the church at the missions conference. But today it's just a little sneak peek. So SIM is starting a project called Faithful Witness in Forgotten Communities. And this is one of the communities, and the Hassanya people of Mali are one of the communities that SIM is looking to go into in the next year. So they're going to send three teams into communities where there's no gospel witness at all. So our church is actually going to adopt this community, and we're going to start praying for them. And this is really exciting because even now the missionaries aren't even on a team yet. So you'll be praying right from the very beginning. We'll be praying for the Lord to raise up missionaries. The Lord has already raised up $1 million to send 8 families into this community. So the money's already there, but we need the people and we need the prayer. So that's one way that you can start praying already, and more information will be provided about that at the mission conference. You can pray for our family as we lead a team to South Africa. We're leaving this Thursday and we'll have a week of training and then we'll head out to South Africa. This year we've got 17 young people going with us. The reason I chose that particular picture is because going through the airport is something you can pray about, actually. It's a big job taking a lot of young people through the airport, especially kids that are under the age of 16. There's a lot more paperwork and things going on. I was telling my parents yesterday that last year I had a girl just faint right out on the airport floor. And then I had two girls basically in panic mode on the plane, so there was a lot of managing there. So pray for the team, but there's so much more than that. Pray for the kids as they grow in Christ and as they learn what it is to put the interests of other people before their own, and as they learn about what mission is and how they can become involved in mission in the future. And then another opportunity that we introduced to you after we came back from Uganda last year is Tezuka K. And I love that name. The name of the school that we've been working with over this last year is Tezuka K, which actually means let's wake up. And in so many ways, that means so much. It means a lot because the kids wake up when they have food. But it means a lot because they wake up to the true reality of who Christ is and what he can mean in their life. So you can pray about that. Praise, lots to praise the Lord about at that project. There's faithful workers that are going from Word of Life every week to teach those kids about Christ. And they have become so excited about the project. They've now started a reading program there, and it's so exciting to see what the Lord's done.
So many of you have helped us support this school. As you can see, the line is very long. They say by September there may be almost 200 kids there, and just as a reminder, half of those kids are orphans. So the community somewhat cares for them, but they do not eat. They don't get food. So God put a burden on our hearts while we're over there. We started a food program. And I just have to apologize. Maybe there are people here who don't know who we are, but my name is Victor Doucette. This is Angela Doucette. We're members of this church. And so sorry about that. I should have introduced myself, right? But we are doing this. This is an opportunity God put in front of us. It's an opportunity some of you have got on board with. And in the first 3 to 4 months, God raised $10,000, which supplies all their food for an entire year. So since we've been there last year, these kids have eaten every day, which is something very rare there, very rare. Their parents are in awe that there's food for their kids. And now they're coming down, they're asking why. And so the missionaries are giving them the gospel. This is why. Jesus has fed your kids, basically. And I'm going to put it out there. Ange and I are praying now that God will raise $100,000. And so if there's someone in here who can cut that check today, I'll meet you at the back. But I believe in a big God, and I know you guys do. So you can pray about this school. Now, this $100,000 would sustain that school for food for life. We would invest it, and it would every 200 kids every September that go through the school will have food every day for the rest of their life, as long as they're in that school. So that's the beginning of this program.
So the idea there is to keep it going, like Victor mentioned, but also we're looking, pray for permission to farm the land at the school, because that will actually allow funds to be opened up to move into other communities. So we're asking you to pray for that, expand into other communities, and then really for the salvation of the kids. That is what this is all about. We want them to eat, but we want them to know the love of Christ and for the salvation of their parents as well.
So missions, how? Your role to encourage. Encourage teens to go. Encourage older people to go. Encourage everybody to go. You can go. Some of you are sitting there saying, no way I can go. You can go. God will sustain you, and he will find the funds to go. And he owns it all. So you can go. So encourage people. When you encourage someone, you enhance the ministry by building them up. I don't know how, when we go over in South Africa, we're going over to encourage the missionaries there. And they weep when we leave because of the great fellowship that we've had. And we weep because of the great fellowship we've had with them. And so you can encourage people. You can write them letters. You can do what you have to do. You can support them. You know, even $10 a month, they will be so thankful for. So again, back to Tezuka K School. After we were there and we're playing with the kids, and kids were falling over, I thought they were hurt. They were actually they were tired. The missionary said they're tired. I said, "What do you mean they're tired?" "Well, the kids don't eat, Papa," is what he calls me. And I "What do you mean they don't eat? They're falling over because they have no energy." And I went behind the school and I wept. How is this possible? So that whole day, I was like, "Well, what can I do? What can I do? I'm just one person." So we got back, and Betty Reed had given letters. So an encouraging part. Betty gave us letters as we went, and every other day or day, we'd just pick one out of the pile and read them. We pulled this letter out, and you can't see it, but there's a picture of kids just like the ones we dealt with, and it talks about feeding them physically and feeding their souls. And it was a confirmation to me that we have to do something. I don't know what I'm doing, but I know my God. I know who he is. So I said, "Lord, what can we do?" And so he started this opportunity, and it's been going since, and it's really exciting. We're really excited about it.
So just a letter to a missionary. It's as simple as that. A Facebook message, a text, a letter, and you'll be amazed at how the Lord will use it. But he had no idea that the Lord was going to use that letter in that way. So, and then another option is to receive. Those are friends of ours. My parents started hosting them years ago, having them for dinner when they were home on their furlough. And you can do that with missionaries. Have them for dinner, provide them a place to stay, provide them even somewhere to have vacation. Maybe you have a cottage. Provide them with a car, provide them with childcare. This is a way you can get involved in mission right here at home.
So another role that we have as Christians is to give. I'm not going to read it out, but when you give, you actually enable ministry over there. We're working with missionaries over there, national missionaries over there, that actually will say, I don't eat today, so that those kids can eat. There are men and women over there who don't eat in different places in Uganda. And so we can give. We have so much here. And I was just talking to the SALT ministries not too long ago, saying, you know, we're at a point where we can actually skip Swiss Chalet for one weekend and give $50 to these missionaries. And I'm telling you, it changes their life. It changes their life. And it says there are Christians around the world who love me and care for me because they do feel alone. But they're in a battle for survival. I mean, this one guy we're working with, he was in an accident not too long ago, and 15 people were sent to hospital, arms and limbs missing, and he had to pull them out of the vehicle. Yet this man decides not to eat so these kids can eat. I have no problem asking you to support this man. I'm going to ask you. If you want to support this man, I'll show you who he is. I'll give you. He will write to you. He's dying for the gospel. Every day, evangelizing through tribes and through tents and through all these things. Anyways, your opportunities.
So there's lots of opportunities, as you know. And people are often asking. We understand that for sure. So you need to pray about what the Lord has burdened your heart for. There's short-term mission teams. That's the Jamaica team that was sent from here 2 years ago. There's traditional missionaries that are sent from North America and from England. And then there's national missionaries, which Victor was mentioning. We have so many friends that picture there, actually, between our family there, Topsella, he has had to leave as a missionary because he doesn't have the support. We're praising God because he's working, and he's still working in his community, but he's had to leave as a missionary because he just couldn't get the support for that.
So we've already talked about Tezukake. We want to show you a quick little video. So what's different about this work that's going on at Tezukake is this. There are missionaries that go once or twice a week there to give Bible studies to every one of those kids. They also do Bible studies with the teachers of that school who want to know about Jesus. So we're feeding them physically, but they're being fed spiritually. And many of them are our brothers and sisters. And many of them are orphans without parents. They have no role models or anything. And these missionaries go in and they're their dads. They're their moms. So it's a great opportunity for you to support real work. And all the money you send will go there. We're the admin fee. I'm going to take that money, I'm going to put it in my pocket, get on a plane, and go there. It goes right to these kids, every ounce. Here's another role you can do. You can go. Some of you are saying, I can't go. I couldn't do that. I couldn't survive the food. I couldn't survive the heat or yeah, you can. I thought the same thing, too. But you can go.
So there's lots of opportunities to go, short-term being one of them. And I'm not sure what we have for plans for a short-term trip coming up with the church, but there will be one, and we'll probably talk about that over the next year. That's one of my favorite pictures of Annie. Just on those short-term missions, the Lord has changed the hearts of so many young people. But it's not just for young people. Look at us. We're not young people. The other one's midterm. This one is a big one, and it's something I really want to challenge you to think about and to pray about. In SIM, I see the struggles on the field, and they're not just about missionaries, traditional. They need accountants. They need HR people. They need personnel. And they don't just, it might not be for a lifetime of missions. It might be you can train somebody in 6 months there, or you can take 2 years and get their books in order and then come back. Or you could even support some accountants from here. You share back and forth. That's what technology is for. There's a huge need for that. And a lot of our mission field is struggling because they don't have that kind of support. So if you have those kind of skills, pray about it and pray about an opportunity like that. And then, of course, there's long-term. That top picture there with the red roofs, that's a place called Rostock. It used to be East Germany. That was a very faithful community of Lutherans and evangelicals so much before the wall went up and before that became East Germany. Today, in the 2011 census, out of 200,000 people, not a single person claimed to be an evangelical Christian. And that is in the seat of where evangelicalism was. And of course, you might notice in the bottom corner, that's Newcastle. So that is also where your mission field is. And for those of you doing VBS, you are going. You're only going across the street, but you're still going. And that is a mission field just like any other.
Okay. I'll put this here. So take your Bibles. You don't have to take your Bibles. It would be nice if you did both. It's up there on the screen for you. We're going to look at this piece of scripture. So you can see there's a lot of opportunity for you to get involved in missions. Well, I'm going to look at this scripture in maybe a different way, because I look at the scripture and I see these are ways that we're to behave and to act and how we're to think. They're all displayed to us by what Christ has already done. All these attributes we're going to talk about, taking the form of a servant, being a servant, being humbled, all those things were displayed by Christ's ultimate humility to come to earth. Because he had a mission. He came to earth to save sinners like me and you. And so he's saying, I want you to have that kind of mindset. So with that, let's pray. And I have 30 minutes. I'd like to get into the scripture, just pull a few things out. And I just pray it'll be a blessing and encouragement to all of us. So our Father in heaven, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for everyone who's come here. I pray, Lord, that you would be with us in power. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would be here to convince us, to convict us, to challenge us, Lord. Father, I pray that you would be glorified. Work on us. Help us, Lord. We're needy people. We're just asking you to be here. Talk to us. Speak to our hearts and change us. Help us, Lord, to know what we're to do. And just help us be so excited about your scripture, your word, and what you've done and what you're doing. Be here and be glorified, Lord. Amen. Okay, so we started out with missions just to give you an update on what's going on in our family, and we're thrilled to be a part of it. We just get to be a part of it. God opened a door, and you just say yes. and you go through not knowing, and all of a sudden there's a lot of things happening. And anyone, if you asked me 10 years ago if we'd be doing all this stuff, I'd say no. I'd say no, but God changed my mind. He changed my thinking. He changed Ange and me and all our girls. And slowly he's done this. So I want to get into the scripture. I want to encourage you. I hope God speaks to you. I hope many of you are going to say amen to this stuff, because I know you're doing this. And you say amen. Oh, I'm there. Yes, amen. So let's get into it. First, look at verse 5. It says, have this mind among yourselves, which is in Christ Jesus. This mindset is to rule us as believers. We're told to have a certain mindset or focus or knowledge about the truth that shapes our behavior. We're to have it among us as brothers and sisters. In verse 2, it tells us that we are to have the same mind that was read earlier. It says that this same active demeanor or same focus or goal for our lives, all of us. It says, verse 2, it says, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being of the full accord and of one mind. And it speaks to the unity amongst us. This phrase, bring into full accord, is very interesting, because in verse 2 it actually means be one souled, be one soul. So all of us are one body. We're to be one souled, one mind. So we're to be knit together in harmony and to have the same desires, passions, and ambitions. So have this mind among yourselves. Well, how do we get there? Well, secondly, you know, this mind or mindset is connected to a person. And it says that we can only have this mind that the scripture's talking about it if we're in Christ. Have this mind among yourselves, which is in Christ. And those who have repented of their sin, received and believed the gift that God does, gives it to us on his death, burial, resurrection. Those who are in Christ, Paul uses this phrase all the time. If you're in Christ, if you're a believer and you've repented, the Holy Spirit lives within you, you're in Christ. And he's saying, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours. I love that phrase. It's yours. It's yours to be had. It's in Christ. You see, the person outside of the church, the unbeliever, cannot genuinely display the attributes of this mind we're going to talk about, this focus, or these desires, or these ambitions. 1 Corinthians 2:10 says, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows the person's thoughts except the Spirit of that person which is in them? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. And it goes on in verse 12 to say, now we have not received the spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. It goes on in verse 14 and says, so the natural person, or those who are outside of the Christ, or the unbeliever, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they're folly to him. He's not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. And then it goes on in verse 16, but who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? And then this is the beautiful part here. But we have the mind of Christ. It's ours. We can have this mindset we're going to talk about. Have this mind among yourselves, brothers and sisters, that it's yours. It's yours in Christ Jesus. Now we read in verse 5, this mind is one of humility. It's one of servanthood. It's obedience. And all these are displayed in our ultimate teacher who came. And it's under the entire umbrella of the mission he came. So these attributes, this mindset, comes to us in display on what God did. And we're going to read through that. What is the mind that we're to have? Well, it's also verses 3 and 4, but it's here as well. What did Jesus do? He came on a mission to die for sinners like you and me. This shows the mind of Christ, his dedication to us. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. In verse 6, who, although he was the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. He was in the form of God. Paul says that Jesus is eternally God. This word was, the Greek word here, and Paul means the very essence of, the person, the nature, a continuous state or condition. So Jesus was the form of God. He was God in perfect state and condition, in person and nature. It also means that it's unchanging character of something. You know, the Lord says, I'm the Lord, I change not. Now, Paul could have used any other word for that and spelling it a different way, but he's affirming right here that he was in the form of God. Paul is saying Jesus is God. So he's setting up kind of a case here. He's saying, look, here's God. Look what he did, and look at his mindset and through what he did. This is the mind I want you to have, Paul is saying. This unchanging God, unchanging character, the form of God. You know, we find it in other passages of Scripture, too, about Christ's deity. So Paul's affirming that he's the eternal God. You know, in John 1:1, everyone here probably can quote that. In the beginning, so before time, even our time existed, was the Word, who is Jesus. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then it says, he was in the beginning, again, before creation, before we existed. He was in the beginning, eternally existent with God. And verse 3 is amazing in John 1:3. All things are made through him. So we know that Jesus is God. John 5:18 says, this is why the Jews were seeking more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was calling God his Father, making himself equal with God. So even the Jews knew that Jesus was claiming to be God, and they were going to kill him for that. So verse 6 says, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. So that word equality is interesting too. This Greek word says that that Greek word equality means this: exactly the same size, the same quality, the same quantity, the same number, and get this, the same character. So that Jesus was in the form of God, he was God, he was equal with God, he was the same equality with God, character as God. So, okay, Jesus was God, right? Okay, why? Well, Paul knew he was God. Jesus knew he was God. How does this help us get that mind that we've been talking about, or we will look at? It says that he was the form of God. He did not count equality with God to be grasped. And it's very interesting, the word grasp means this, a thing seized by robbery. Jesus wasn't a thief to steal God's name. He wasn't a fraud artist. The word came to mean in later on in times, anything clutched or embraced or prized, held onto. So although he knew he was God, he didn't think that equality with God, he should be clutching or bracing or prizing over his mission. Held on. This is mind-blowing. Although he knew he was God and he did this, he didn't account equality with God to be grasped or clutched or held onto. Verse 7 says, he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, verse 7, and being born in the likeness of men. God became a man. So here's the argument that Paul is building upon. He's talking about you want your mind to be set on the right things, on the things of heaven, and the way that we're to act and behave and our demeanor and control. He's saying, listen, he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. So Christ had all the powers, all the rights and the privileges, yet he had an attitude of not clutching or prizing this position as deity, and he willingly gave it up for a time for you and for me. So Paul's case builds even more. But he emptied himself. Now, at Christ's incarnation, when God put on flesh, he was self-renouncing his use of these things. He set aside his privileges, his right. He set aside his glory in heaven with his Father. He set aside his face-to-face fellowship with the Father. He left the glory of heaven for us. Christ gave up his independent authority, and he submitted to the Father. We see that through Scripture. Not my will, but thy will, Father. His direction was of the Father, and he was led by the Spirit. So Christ did amazing things by coming incarnate for us, humbly bowing to us. John 5:30 says, I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Verse 7, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. A form of a servant, again, Paul uses the word form, and it means exact essence. Jesus was servant. Jesus was slave. Okay, he's remember, in the beginning he says, have this mind in you, among yourselves, which is yours, in Christ Jesus. The carnal mind, the natural man, those outside of Christ cannot begin to understand that mind, but we can. I think some of you, I see some nodding. Yeah, Jesus in his incarnation says, I seek his will. He emptied himself. He became a servant. He came the essence of the servant. Matthew 20, 28, it says, even as the Son of Man came not to be saved, to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Do you know this word servant is different than any other Greek word servant? So, I don't know about you, but a slave is not a thing that I want to be, carnally speaking. In the world, slaves were subjected to slavery. They probably didn't like their masters. They obeyed their masters probably out of fear. But this specific word where it says he became the form of a servant, it actually is so specific, it means this. A willing slave, a loyal slave to his master. Much different than what the world produces in slavery. So we're beginning to see this mind that Paul is exhorting us to have. The great example set before us, Paul goes right to him, goes right to God, right to Christ. So we're to set aside our privileges for the sake of others. You know, we're to be loyal, willing slaves to him for the sake of others. I have a friend at work, and we talk about it all the time. I was humbling yourself when you feel that, you know, you don't want to humble yourself sometimes. People take advantage of you, or they mock you, or they laugh at you, but you humble yourself to serve them. They don't get it. They don't know what you're doing, but that's what you're doing. You have the mind of Christ because you want to win them. Because this whole thing wrapped on either side is there was a mission God sent. And the only way he could have completed that mission to die for sinners and a ransom for sinners is to do all these things so that they might be saved in his death, bodily resurrection, and all those things. So we see this mind. And he's born in the likeness of man. When Christ became God, fully God, he was fully God, he became fully man. He put on the attributes of humanity, you know, so he shared our basic weaknesses and our fears. He was cold, he was hungry, he was thirsty. That's pretty amazing, that's pretty humbling. You know, the creator of the universe, putting on these attributes, shivering at night, hungry. It's mind-blowing. Hebrews 4:15 says, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who was in every respect tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus knows. Are you hurting here today? Are you worried or have anxiety about your children? Do you fear things? Do you wonder how you're going to pay the next bill? Jesus knows. In every way, he knows. That's amazing. Why would God do that for us? In my humanity, I say, if I was God, things would be different. See how you turn CNN or BBC, you watch what's going on in the world, and you say, wow, what a mess. If I was God, these things wouldn't be happening. I would do it differently. I would probably be a tyrant and a dictator. But he didn't do that. He came as a suffering servant. That's incredible. And this is the mind we're to have. When you get frustrated with the news and what's going on in the world and you see the injustices going out there, you see the motives of people, and you see the agendas being forced down our children, guess what? We're to have the mindset to serve them and love them, put away our privileges to show the glory of Christ in us for them. And it's hard. I know it's hard. Glenn and I talk about it at work all the time, how hard it is. So I get it. But we're commanded to have this mind. We're commanded to have this mind among ourselves, which is ours in Christ Jesus. It's there for us to take. He wants to renew our mind, our thinking. He wants us to be created in the image of his dear son. He wants us to be like this. And it's so counter to our flesh. We talked about that this morning in Sunday school. There's a war, but he wants our minds. So, verse 8. Now, this is humility. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. As if leaving the glories of heaven, the creator and sustainer of life, he puts on flesh, he becomes one of us in order to save us. He humbled himself as a baby poor in a manger. He had no grand entrance. He further humbles himself for his main mission, his main goal, to die the most humiliating death common criminal would have in those days. A suffering, long, painful, torturous death. Not only did the Romans want to put people to death to show their power or justice or their law, but they wanted to torture them in their death. Like, it was the worst death. This is what he did. And again, I'll just read verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is in Christ Jesus. Isaiah 53:7 says this, he was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. You know, at this point, don't you think he said things like this? I could call a legion of angels down right now, but he didn't. And when he was before Pilate, he said a few things, but he remained silent. When he went to the cross, he remained silent. This is God in the flesh. How many times do people offend you? How many times do people talk behind your back when you get wind of it? How many times do you suffer at work because you're one of them Christians, those Bible thumpers, or you're one of those haters, and we're not? How many times do you remain silent, or do you justify yourself? Do you fight back? He was oppressed. He was afflicted. He did not open up his mouth. Like a lamb that was led to slaughter, like a sheep that was before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He subjected himself to ridicule, all kinds of persecution, and finally, execution by the hands of ungodly, sinful men. This is the mind of Christ. He was willing to die a brutal death for the ungodly who deserve death and judgment. That's you and me. That's you and me. And if you don't know Christ in here, that's you. If you have not placed your trust in Christ, he died for you. He did all this for you. God did this for you? All other religions have a God who is a dictator, right? Or is distant. This true biblical God came for you and me and humbled himself to the point of death by the hands of us. We would have been in the crowd yelling, crucify, if we were there, every one of us. And if you didn't, if you think, okay, maybe I wouldn't have done that because I'm a little bit better, you would have left him in the courts and you would have fled with the rest of the disciples and you would have cowered and you would have worried about your own skin. Oh, they're coming to get me now. He used to sing this song to the girls. I don't know if you know it. I don't even know the name of the song. Do you know the name of the song? The gates and doors are barred. I called it that. All the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness. I rose at every sound, half in guilt and sorrow, half in fear the day would find the soldiers coming in to drag us all away. You would have run. I would have run. We understand Peter, don't we? But what's amazing is he understands. He knows. Yet he was still willing to do that. He was still willing to do that for us. And this very day, he intercedes before the Father for you and me. That's crazy. Verse 8, he was obedient to the Father, obedient even to death on the cross. So his mission to die for his people shows us at what great lengths that he strove to achieve it. You know, his mind was focused and it was centered on to achieve a way of salvation for mankind, to destroy and kill sin, to put it to death. The complete forgiveness of sins for every person who trusts in Christ by his suffering work on the cross. This is the mind of Christ. You know, can we think any differently? I catch myself trying to justify myself or being a little high and mighty sometimes. Oh, you know, I'll get my back up. How dare they? How dare they say that to me? No. Or how can they act that way? You know, my flesh. But if I'm looking at the mind of Christ, look what he went through. Look what he did for me. So this is the mind of Christ in verse 5 that we are to have amongst ourselves. And it's ours to freely to take in Christ. You know, for the sake of the unity of the body, for the sake of those who are not in Christ, our friends, family, co-workers, are we not to empty ourselves? Are we not to lose our rights? One of the books we give the kids before we go overseas sometimes is one, You Have No Rights. It's a book called You Have No Rights. And the kids like read through this book and they're like, I don't know if I can do this. Keep reading. No, I don't know if I can do this. You have no right to privacy. You have no right to money. You have no right to food. You have no right to complain. You have no right to sleep on a missions trip. Now that's going overseas. We have the same thing here, you know. I have the right to the parking space. I am the employee of the month. This man is parking in my parking spot. I'm going to go tell the frontline manager. You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to get him removed. Yeah, that's the mind of Christ right there. So we're to lose our rights, our privileges, our preferences. What about our positions, our cherished prizes, things we hold on to, right? He didn't hold on to the equality with God to clutch onto that. Look, our preeminence, I'm first place. I'm always first in line. I'm always first to lunch. I'm always first to, you know, just silly little things, right? How about this? Do we have the right? Should we empty ourselves of our will for his will? That's probably the toughest one right there. Pray this prayer. Not my will, Lord, but your will. That's the mind of Christ. He wants everyone in this room, if you're a believer, including myself, to every day say, Lord, not my will today, but your will. If you pray that prayer, things happen. Things begin to happen. And it's amazing. You think you're actually giving up things, but you're not. You're going to begin to see this abundant life that Christ promised, right? And I'll just say, I understand that it's hard because you go through the drudgery of daily living in your daily secular job with the same kind of foul talk that maybe you are accompanied to, and it's just pounds on you. So how am I supposed to continue with the mind of Christ? Well, you have each other. Have this mind among yourselves. Call somebody, talk to somebody, work with a Christian sister or brother, pray together. So these things, are we not to be willing servants, loyal only to him and to each other? Are we not to serve each other? Are we not to be servants or slaves to our brothers and sisters who are overseas who have nothing? Shouldn't we give what we have? Because you can't outgive God. Pick a seriously crazy number of dollars that you know you can't give. You're like, well, that's way too much money. And I'm not even talking about Tezuka K or anything Angie are involved in. Think of an amount of money you think, oh, this is a lot of money. And say, Lord, I want to give it away. I'm going to trust in you, and I'm going to give it away to you, to your work. Work through that and see what God does. We've learned that, and I've learned that I can't outgive God because it comes back in blessings in various ways that I can't even comprehend. Are we not to have the same missional mindset that Christ had. We've forgotten. There's a song when I was first saved 27 years ago by Newsboys called Lost the Plot. Some of you younger people might know that song. We've lost the plot. And the song goes on to say things like, you know, yeah, I hear you're coming back again. Can you get me another thing from the fridge? I heard a rumor today the end was near, but I just got comfortable here. But then all of a sudden in the song, the singer transforms and he says, but when I first met you, you were hanging on a tree. And I knew my hands were dirty and I dropped my gaze. But you said I was forgiven and you welcomed me with laughter and it was happily ever after. I was counting the days when you come back again. We've lost the plot. The whole point of the song is the church in general has forgotten the mission. We've lost the plot. He came as a suffering, humbled servant, laying aside his privileges and died a wicked, terrible death to save souls. And we've forgotten, and we're not excited about that anymore. Are we not to humble ourselves and become obedient to the will of our Heavenly Father who did all this? To Jesus who did this for us? To one another? Should I not humble myself before Fred? Should I not humble myself before my brother who sins against me? Should I not offer extension of forgiveness to my sister who maybe offends me? He would have. So because of his mission to redeem his people, we see the mind of Christ, and he commands us as believers to have the same mind. Are we not to be missionally minded across the street, our neighbor, at the grocery store, Africa, the North Pole? You know, he's God, but he bent low for us to be us sinners. He's king of all creation, yet he became a suffering servant. He's the one true God, yet he put on flesh and he walked among us. He's the sovereign one who will judge sin in the end, but he offers himself as a ransom. He didn't offer someone else. He offers himself as a ransom to make a way of salvation for sinners. And I love this. I'll kind of close down with this. Verse 9 says, therefore God, because he did this, and we see the mind that we're to have, he says, therefore God has highly exalted him. And he's bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God and the Father. Guys, the Lord wants to use you in his mission. He wants you to be a willing, loyal servant, slave for him. He's placed this mission before us. And you know what? This isn't me personally. It's the only reason we have breath. We are to be missionary minded. We are to be missional in everything we do. Dino asked me how the car is going. We have a car. I'm going to paint it up. I'm going to put verses on it. It's going to be crazy. I know I'm going to stand out like John the Baptist. People are going to say, there's a crazy guy. Go talk to him. I'm going to do it anyways. And Dino said, how's the car going? And I went and gassed it up the other day, and this man approached me, the car, he's excited about the car, and I said, yeah, Lord, yeah, you're drawing them here. And the nickname for the car is the Baptist. And the guy comes up, and he starts talking about the car, and I'm like, okay, Lord, how am I going to, okay, I told you I'm going to do this car for you, and I'm going to give the gospel. How do I open this conversation? And I just blanked. I said, hey, you know what this car is built for? And he goes, what do you mean? I said, this car is a ministry. He goes, a what? I said, a ministry. What do you mean? I said, this car I built so that people would be drawn to it and I could tell them about the love of God. Are you interested? And he goes, it didn't get into the full gospel, but this was my first driving into the car. But he said this. He said, well, God bless you. You know, he had tats and all the rest of it. And he's like, wow, that's really interesting. I said, yeah. And I told him about our church. And they said, what church do you go to? And I said, the one behind the Catholic church. And he goes, you know, we come in here every Sunday to do go-kart racing. And would you guys mind if we came by for a service? I said, no, absolutely. I should have had a card, but I didn't. We're making cards soon. So all I'm saying is the mind of Christ should rule us. It should change our behavior. Missionally minded. Now, it says in verse 12, it says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, okay? I don't want to get into all that, but I do want to end with this. It means the believers to have an active pursuit to obey the Lord's will, to obey the Lord's word, and to obey his mission. His mission is our mission. If you've forgotten that, you've lost the plot. So, Tezukuke, wake up. He wants to use you all the time. He wants to use you everywhere and with every person. And I know, I'm not saying I do that. I get that. I'm preaching to myself, like Jock often says. It's hard at work sometimes. Sometimes you don't want to talk to people. I get it. I've done it. I've turned my back. I'm just saying this is what God is requiring of us, and we're responsible. This is the mind of Christ. He wants us to carry on the same mission. So the question then is, are you going to pray and ask God today to say, you know, Lord, I haven't quite been there, or I have no idea what you're talking about. So I don't believe this is my message to us. I think it's God's message to us. Are you willing to go and pray today and say, Lord, whatever, wherever, whoever, if you pray that prayer, your life is going to radically change. And if you pray that prayer every day, it's going to change. You'll find that you'll be on a mission trip to one of the dangerous places on the planet in a couple of years. Oh, I don't want to do that. Baby steps. Fred's going to come one day to Uganda, aren't you, Fred? That looks like a, it's like my neighbor's kind of yes, no. But we will get there. If we pray every day and ask God to do this, and I know it's a battle. There's a battle for your mind. And God's just reminding us today that, you know what? It's yours. It's mine in Christ. Put away the things that don't mean anything. And ask him to give you the mind that means everything. Put away the things that perish and fall short and rot and burn and end up nowhere. And ask him to give you eternal mind and vision. And go for those things. Because that's where you will really find the abundant life. I don't think I'm ever happier than when I see kids growing in the Lord. Or I get to tell someone about Jesus. That's where I am the most happy. That's where we're meant to be. All of us in this room. Every one of us. I don't care if you think, I'm not an evangelist. No, you're part of the mission. We showed you earlier all the things you can be a part of. So come and ask us. We will find a role that you'll be comfortable with and that you'll be happy with and you will grow in and you'll love it. So let's pray. Father in heaven, again, we are we're overwhelmed, Lord, by your goodness to us. We sang how faithful you are, Lord, and that is true. Everyone who's a Christian in this room can attest the fact, Lord, that you've provided. You've always come through. You've never left us. Even in the storms, Lord, you're there. And we have a peace that passes all understanding. Lord, I just pray that you would put on our minds the mission, that we're to continue the mission you started and you used apostles to do and now are given to us, Lord, to fulfill this mission, to reach the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ, the only thing that matters, and to present the name that only matters, the only name that matters above everything, that every knee will bow and tongue confess, the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, just encourage us, empower us, help us, Lord, to have this mind. Give us this mind, Lord, because we can't manufacture it. We can't pretend. But you can change our minds, Lord. So do your work, do your will, and we'll give you the praise because you deserve it, Lord. Amen.